Welcome into a Bleed Tech Blue radio podcast, the podcast home of the authority on Louisiana Tech Sports, BleedTechBlue.com.
Welcome into another special podcast-only edition of Bleed Tech Blue Radio this week. Happy Thanksgiving from Jason Jones and I. Jason joining me here on the podcast. Jason, thanks for joining me and helping me out with the podcast.
No problem. Anytime.
Louisiana Tech, of course, coming off a squeaker, as Aaron Dietrich of KNOE News would say, in Monroe, or not in Monroe, in El Paso, Saturday, getting by UTEP just barely. Jason, I would say that slice of humble pie came at probably the perfect time.
It really did. I mean, you're going into one of the, I guess, the biggest game of the year with all the cards on the table, everything's, you know, on the line, and you want to be at your best. And so you don't want to go in with a cocky attitude or thinking that you can't be beat. So that UTEP game really did come at the right time, and it really had a lot of parallels in my mind to last year. It was the same weekend of the year as the Old Dominion game last year. It was on the road, pretty long trip, after a bye week. And in that game, you know, towards the end of the game, just Tech could not pass the ball, whether it had to do with, you know, Cody Sokol hurting his shoulder or whatever it was. Old Dominion figured it out and pretty much put the clamps down on Tech's offense, and Tech ended up losing in overtime. This time, the wind was a factor that brought the safeties up and really dared Tech to throw the ball, and Tech could not complete enough passes to really put any points on the board there at the end of the game. And the defense is really what saved Tech, and the defense had to step up and hold them. And if it wasn't for a missed field goal here or there, you know, it could have been a different story. But Tech did hold on to win 17-15.
So you would say that you agree with me that it came at the right time, that slice of humble pie.
Yeah, because then now you see some weaknesses, you see some things that you need to work on, you see that you're not invincible. Now, you come back home, Tech's a lot better at home, but with all those seniors on the defense, Dora and Butler and Barnes and Bryce, Abraham, Thomason and Feet, I mean, all those guys are going to want to go out playing a good game, go out on top. And they saw that UTEP could run on them, so you've got to think that they don't want to let Southern Miss run on them at all. But also, we talked about last week, Nick Mullins is going to sling it around. They haven't faced a quarterback like that really since week one or week two in Western Kentucky. And so, you know, they're going to have to be at the top of their game, but I've got a feeling those seven seniors are going to have a great game.
So what do you expect? Just an early preview. We're going to go to basketball after this. What do you expect overall Saturday from Tech on the gridiron?
I think Tech's going to come out and play well. I mean, Southern Miss is no slouch on defense either. I think they actually, like, total defense are ranked ahead of Tech. Now, I feel like Tech's moved the ball pretty well against some decent defenses. Tech had over 400 yards against Mississippi State. Western Kentucky and Florida International are both top 75 defenses in the country. You know, we're talking about 130 teams or so. It's not quite top half, but they're right there in the middle. And Tech was able to move the ball on them. Put up over 500 yards against Western Kentucky. I think Tech will be able to move the ball. Joe Driscoll and Kenneth Dixon are going to have a great game. I think you'll see a lot of Trent Taylor and hopefully a lot of Carlos Henderson. If you see Carlos Henderson touching the ball a lot, it can only mean good things for Louisiana Tech. The big question is, can they slow down Southern Miss's offense? I think, you know, last year when Western Kentucky came to town, they were able to get to the quarterback and totally get in his head and shut him down and dominate him. I think you could see that this weekend. I think Tech could really bring a dimension to the defense that Southern Miss hadn't seen all season, and Tech could really blow this game wide open. Now, if they don't get the turnovers and they let Southern Miss sling it around a little bit, if they can get pressure on the quarterback, then they could lose. So, I mean, I'm not saying Tech's going to win, but I'm saying – it's up to Tech's defense to dictate whether they can really get a big lead and kind of bury Southern Miss early, or if they let them hang around and keep throwing the ball all over the field and make it a high-scoring shootout. You don't ever want to get in that situation.
Well, flipping gears before you get all the way into breaking down the Golden Eagles. Louisiana Tech coming off a huge victory in Columbus, Ohio last night, beating the Ohio State University in Columbus. I mean, they're 4-0 on the year, and Eric Conkle's already got a signature win.
Yeah, he's undefeated in his career. I mean, he's the greatest coach of all time, right?
That's exactly right.
For Louisiana Tech. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great win. And then we saw the veterans on the team. If you can call Jacoby Boykins a second-year sophomore a veteran, he's one of the lone returners on the team. But Boykins, McCree, and Hamilton scored 39 out of the last 40 points for Tech. And they were just really on fire. Alex Hamilton probably played his best game as a Bulldog, which he's played some spectacular games in his career. But this is probably the best. And he just took the team on his shoulders. He was getting in the lane at will. They were able to spot up Boykins and McCree in the corners, knock down some big shots. And I was really surprised with Ohio State's size. You know, we saw Janelle White, 7-footer for Tech, play really well inside. And he got like 25, 26 minutes. But besides him, they really went small the rest of the way. You didn't see Brandon Shepherd get any minutes. Jalen Washington only got like 2 or 3 minutes there at the end of the game because of foul trouble. So the main players off the bench were all guards. Luckett. And then we saw a little bit of you're going to tell me, sophomore guard. And then
Deion Griffin.
Deion Griffin. And then, of course, the freshman who had the big dunk.
Derrick Jean.
Derrick Jean had the big dunk there. They all got plenty of minutes. Luckett scored double digits. Griffin had a couple of three-pointers. Most of those three did their damage in the first half and gave Tech a big boost right before halftime. But that was really the main contributors off the bench. So all three were guards. Tech went really small most of the game.
Yeah, you look at the box score. Alex Hamilton filled it up. When I look at this box score, I think Alex Hamilton learned a few things from Speedy Smith while playing with him. Six assists to three turnovers. A 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio is outstanding. He was 10 for 22 from the field. He really kind of started off pretty slow for the Bulldogs. He was 0 for 5 from 3, 4 for 5 from the free throw line, which I won't get on my soapbox because those officials were absolutely atrocious. You got a free throw differential of 18 to 27. What more do I need to say there? He rebounded the ball. He's always been a pretty good rebounding guard. He stayed out of foul trouble, which is something that Derrick Jean's got to learn from him, and finished with 24 points, 6 assists, and no steals or no blocks, but 24 points and 6 assists and 6 rebounds.
And then to only have 3 turnovers when he's handling the ball most of the time.
He played 37
minutes. That was really outstanding. Yeah, I mean, you would expect somebody to have the ball in their hands that much, they're going to have 5, 6, 7 turnovers, but he only had 3, so he's really handling the ball well. And he just kind of took over the game there for a while. And to see that out of the senior was really big, and it looks good for Tech in the postseason. Number one, it's a big win that's going to help if Tech's ever going to get back in the big dance. But number two, if you get in a tournament, a conference tournament, NCAA tournament, whatever, you know you've got a veteran that has that experience of taking over a big game in a big atmosphere.
And you look at the other leading scorers for Louisiana Tech. Eric McCree finishes with 17 points. He was 6 for 15 from the field, 3 for 6 from 3, 2 for 2 from the free throw line, 10 defensive rebounds, all 10 of his rebounds defensive. He stayed out of foul trouble, which is probably the biggest key to the game. 2 assists, 1 turnover, and 2 steals in 33 minutes. And then LaAntoine Luckett in his second game as a Bulldog, 2 for 5 from the field, 2 for 3 from 3, 4 for 4 from the free throw line, 4 total rebounds, 3 fouls, 10 points, assist, and a turnover in 18 minutes. He was very productive in his 18 minutes. And when you think about LaAntoine Luckett and Alex Hamilton being on the floor at the same time with their ability to get to the hole and draw fouls, Tech's going to spend a lot of time at the free throw line. If they shoot free throws like they did last night, 14 for 18, nearly 78%, that bodes well for the Bulldogs. They were 89% in the first half and 67% in the second half.
And that might have been the difference in the game. You know, in years past, Tech lost a lot of games that were close, and you can look at the free throw percentages and see that Tech was ahead of deficit, but this game, Ohio State had multiple opportunities at the line, and they were missing them. And Tech was the team that was making their shots. So that was one of the key factors of the game, and it just shows that this Tech team is already very polished, very veteran. I mean, as many newcomers as there are, you know, Luck is a senior, Hamilton's a senior, and McCree's a fourth-year junior. So three of your main ball handlers or playmakers are veteran guys. And then Boykins coming back was a big boost because of his shooting ability. And you mentioned, you know, Deion Griffin hit those two threes right before halftime. He's going to be in a battle for minutes just because Luckett is just going to get more and more minutes if he continues to play well. And if Derek Jean keeps improving, it's going to be hard to keep him on the bench. So it's a good problem to have. The backcourt's loaded with a lot of good options at guard. And then Merrill Holden coming back hopefully in 3 or 4 weeks, you know, around Christmas, we'll see, you know, the depth up front getting picked up a little bit.
You know, I was most disappointed with Kedar Davis. Here we were talking him up in the last show, and I thought he regressed. He did what he did last year by dribbling amongst the trees and not knowing what to do once he gets down there. Well, if you don't have a plan when you're driving to the goal, you're going to be stopped. And that's what he tried to put up shots without jumping and was stuffed, what, 4 or 5 times?
Well, some of it has to do with being 6'6" and having to play power forward. He's playing out of position, and so yeah, maybe you can do that.
But is he playing out of position? He doesn't have an outside shot, so he's really not a three.
He's a three. I mean, in a traditional team, he's a three. He's an energy guy. He's a defender, and he's just not going to be much of a scoring threat. But the four, you know, he can use his quickness to get some shots against some teams. But the problem was Ohio State was just huge. Loving, I think, is like a 6'8 post player. And then they had Giddens, the 6'10 freshman center. And those were two of their best players. He's in there, like you said, among the trees. He just didn't have a lot of opportunities. But you're not going to see a ton of teams that size on the rest of that schedule.
You know, I wondered at times what Thad Mata was thinking offensively. If you've got the trees, like I've already used that analogy, why are you not posting those guys up with Tech's lack of size? And
hey,
you just go with
you got me. Yeah, you got me. I mean, they should have just abused Tech inside and got him in even more foul trouble. I mean, White's the only guy over 6'8 on the roster, and they didn't take advantage. McCree at 6'8. Played a lot of minutes, and after him, it was all 6'6 and under. So, very small team for Tech, and they just weren't able to take advantage at all. But huge win for Tech. You know, we saw Tech beat Texas Arlington at home, and Texas Arlington goes and beats Ohio State in Memphis. And so, well, does the transitive property work? If Texas Arlington beat Ohio State, can Tech do it? Well, yeah, Tech did it. Well, now the question is, can they beat Memphis? Be another big, big win for Coach Conkle. So, Tech's got a home game Friday against North Carolina Central, but that Memphis game's coming up after that.
Dare I say, if Josh Pastner loses to UT Arlington and Louisiana Tech, who he's already been on a hot seat, he might as well pack his bags.
Yeah, it won't be looking good for him. And, you know, it's not that big of an upset when a team that wins, you know, 25-plus games a year beats you. But when you're one of the traditional big programs like Memphis and Ohio State, even if you are rebuilding, it's still an upset. But the players on the court, I don't think it was an upset. Tech has some really good, talented players on the floor, and they had a good plan.
Let's switch gears to football. Saturday's a little bit of a matchup inside Joe I Stadium. A bit of a playoff system for Conference USA. That's not how they drew it up, but it's certainly how it's playing out. Louisiana Tech and Southern Miss will face at 11 a.m. Saturday morning for brunch in the Joe for all the marbles in the Western Division of Conference USA.
Yeah, and a lot of the teams haven't played each other. You know, Tech did play Western Kentucky in week two and only lost by three. Southern Miss played Marshall, and I brought this up on Twitter the other
day. Got hammered.
They lost 31-10. Okay, and yeah, Southern Miss has not beaten a team with a defense ranked higher than 98. And so some Southern Miss fans came to me and said, well, look, they played these defenses, you know, Nebraska, Mississippi State, Marshall, and put up over 400 yards. Well, if you go look at the Marshall one, the one game that was in conference, you're down 31-10 at the end of the third quarter. They put up 166 yards starting with about 2 minutes left in the third quarter and the whole fourth quarter, just trying to come back. They're slinging the ball around, and they never scored again. So, you know, you take that away, you've got about 250 yards. So Marshall really, for three quarters, dismantled Southern Miss. And I think Tech's got a similar defense to Marshall. That game was in Marshall. Southern Miss has not played that great on the road. They beat Texas State 56-50 early in the year. They went out and demolished Rice on the road. But like we talked about in the Blue Tech Blue forums this week, by the time Tech took care of Rice, they still had something to play for. They were trying to stay in position for that three-way battle with Southern Miss and Tech for the Western Division. They're still playing for bowl eligibility. Once Tech demoralized them, kind of blew them out, Rice has kind of quit playing. They have not looked good the last couple of weeks, and they did not show up against Southern Miss.
Yeah, I don't buy the whole common opponents thing. Yeah, I don't really buy it a ton at all inside of college football, because every team's different. The scenarios around games are completely different. So
That was the other thing. You know, Southern Miss fans, you know, also called to my attention the Tech struggle that UTEP. Well, Southern Miss got UTEP at home, and then Tech had to go out there and play in 25 to 30 mile per hour wind. Totally different situation. It's hard to travel that far away in those kind of conditions and have a good game. The good thing is Tech went on the road and got the win.
And Southern Miss played UTEP at home. I mean, you got to look at it's not just common opponents. Where did you both play them on the road? Where does all that stand? So you can't. It's apples and oranges whenever you talk about UTEP and El Paso, who's 8. I think they were 8-2 going into that game at home over the last 10. So you can't.
Yeah, it's
apples and oranges.
It's a totally different game. It really is. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to take everything away from Southern Miss. They're winning a lot. They're blowing people out. Their offense has been clicking the last few weeks. It's going to be a huge test. And I mentioned the defense for Tech. You know, 7 defenders are seniors. 3 of those are from Mississippi: Dora, Barnes, Butler. Barnes and Butler are from Southern Mississippi. Butler's from right there in the Macomb area with Summit. And he's got some mention in the last week or two. Not only is he getting named to the Senior Bowl, he's also being talked up as a potential first-round pick. I mean, this is a huge showcase game for him against a team that he grew up right down the road from, and you've got to think he's going to have a monster game.
Yeah, it's a good segue, and then we'll go back to Southern Miss. Jeff Driscoll, Kenneth Dixon, and Vernon Butler will be playing in the Senior Bowl. It's now got a title sponsor of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. That's another subject for another day and another podcast. But I kept telling people early in this season that Tech's biggest draft pick on this team was Vernon Butler. And then all the skill position blinded people are like, oh no, it's Kenneth Dixon. No, folks.
Well,
Vernon Butler is a man child.
Yeah. And the running back position just is not valued in the draft like it used to be. I still think Dixon could be as high as a second round pick. And I think Butler will probably end up in the second round himself. But you can go back on Underdog Dynasty, not just beginning of this season. I wrote an article about Butler potentially being an early draft pick, but the beginning of the season before that. I've been talking to this guy for 2 years because he's so huge at 6'4", 315, but he's not a fat 315. The guy's built like a truck, and he's just very fast, very strong, and that's what the NFL is looking for, is those wide-bodied guys that can actually move. He's very athletic, and he's just what the NFL needs. We saw this with Jelly Bean Ellis, who's built a little differently, shorter and wider and heavier. But if you can move the pile, if you can, you know, be a strength on that defensive line and plug the holes and move that offensive line backwards, they're going to draft you. It doesn't matter what school you're from. Ellis went in the middle of the draft, but I think Butler's going to go, you know, really early, probably in the top 50 picks.
Well, Jason, we'll go back to Louisiana Tech and Southern Miss Saturday. You talked about Southern Miss playing UTEP at home. They played Old Dominion last, beat those guys 56-31, really blew it open in the second half. Old Dominion gave them all they wanted for a half. And this is an Old Dominion team, 104th in team passing efficiency, 101st in scoring offense, 102nd in run defense, 111th in scoring defense, 108th in fourth down conversion percentage, 123rd in third down conversion percentage defense, 123rd in red zone offense. I wouldn't say that the Monarchs are a world beater.
Yeah, and Tech hasn't lost a conference game at home in a couple of years. I mean, Tech plays really strong at home, and I think Tech can move the ball on just about anybody. Southern Miss does have a top 50 defense, and Tech's going to have to bring it. But we saw them move the ball up and down against Kansas State. They had success against West Kentucky, Florida International, who have pretty high-rated defenses. And then, you know, the first two drives against Mississippi State, you know, Tech was flawless and scored two touchdowns. Now, they got shut down after that. But when you didn't have Kenneth Dixon, you knew that was coming eventually.
All right, so let me digress real fast. You're talking about Southern Miss fans getting on to you about talking about how bad Tech played in El Paso. Have you looked at the score, UTEP at USM?
No, I didn't even look at it.
34-13 at home.
Yeah.
They act like they blew their doors off. 34-13 is still a three-possession game, but that's not exactly hammering somebody.
Yeah, we've seen Southern Miss put up 40 and 50 points several times, so that wasn't like that was one of their great games either.
But UTEP's got a pretty good defense.
Yeah. It's going to be a great game. Most of the, you know, the Massey predictors, Sagarin or Sagarin, however you say it, the Vegas line all has their 5, 6, 7 points.
It's still going to be a good football game. I'm not discounting that. But Southern Miss still has had a cupcake conference schedule.
Yeah, they have not beaten anybody with a winning record. Now, Tech's only beat two teams with a winning record. Middle Tennessee has barely got one, and Southern has barely got one, and it's FCS team. But these are two teams that have taken advantage of a weak Western division. Rice is down. North Texas is way down. UTEP's had a lot of injuries. And San Antonio just hadn't figured out what they're doing yet. Both teams have taken advantage of that division and haven't had to play the toughest schedule on the other side. Now, when they did run into Marshall and West Kentucky, they both lost the game. But that's how we get here, is beating up on the rest of the conference. And so both teams took care of business. It's a rivalry game. Rivalry in Dixie. Tech's never beaten Southern Miss 3 years in a row. I say it every week. This is their chance to do it. Southern Miss is used to being king of the hill in this division for decades. They want to get back to that. They've had a lot of angst over the last 2 or 3 years after the whole Ellis Johnson fiasco. They've had to build it back up. And now they're back to where.
They've done a good job of that.
Yeah, they really have. They've gotten back to where they were, winning 8 or 9 games a year, going to a bowl game every single year. I think from like 2001 to 2012, they went every year. Also several times in the late 90s. So, I mean, it was just an annual tradition that they were, you know, every probably third year they're playing in the conference championship game, and almost every year they're playing in the bowl game. So they're back to what they are. And that's what Tech wanted to be. Tech wanted to be in Conference USA to have a chance to go to a bowl game every year and have a chance to play for a conference championship. And they're here. This is what you want, a rivalry game for all the marbles, for your chance to go play for the conference. You can't ask for anything more. It's going to be a great game. Southern Miss is going to bring a big-time offense. Can Tech slow them down? Can they get to the quarterback? And then on offense, can Tech get over their bad performance last week and move the ball a little bit better and try to outscore Southern Miss's offense?
Would you say that Mississippi State may be the most usable common opponent that these two teams have, for comparison's sake?
Probably not, just because Southern Miss got them at home, and it was one of the first, you know, early in the season.
But that's my point of why they could be the best, is the best comparison. Mississippi State's got great athletes. They're in the SEC. We all know that. So Southern Miss catches them at home early in the season, and you look at Tech, and they play them late in the year, and they're missing two key contributors on offense in Kenneth Dixon and Carlos Henderson. So you can compare that, because you both have legitimate excuses.
Well, and both teams played pretty well against State, but not really well. I think Southern Miss probably had a little bit better game, but both teams jumped out early.
34-16 versus 45-20.
Yeah. So, I mean, both teams jumped out early and were in it for a while, and then Mississippi State kind of put them away. I think UTSA is probably another good common opponent. They both played them at similar times in the year. I know Tech had to go on the road, and San Antonio was way better at home. But that's another one that's similar. And then Rice, with both games were in Houston. But I really think Rice, by the time Southern Miss got down there, Rice had just kind of thrown in the towel, and they weren't playing for anything anymore. And you can tell they totally have given up. But it's going to be a great game. It really is. There's a lot of pride on the line, and I think Tech's got a lot of seniors, and they're playing at home. And I feel like that gives Tech the advantage, but they can't just go in and expect to win because of that. They're going to have to play their best game that they've played in a long time and use that as motivation that they want to get back and get another shot at Marshall in that conference USA championship game, or get another chance at West Kentucky to make up for week two. So, Tech's got a lot to play for.
Before we get to predictions, and we're going to predict score and we're going to predict attendance, I want to go to attendance and talk about that. Southern Miss, there's a lot of fodder out there that they're bringing a bunch of fans. I'm expecting ULL-like fan of numbers from traveling fans. So let's call it 2,000. You can mark that one up. Tech's on break. Students won't be there. Let's call that spade a spade. Let's say that Tech gets, if they get, for the Southern game and the ULL game, if there were 7,000 students there, 6,000 students there, there will be 2,000 or 3,000 this week.
Or 1,500, yeah. I mean,
let's call it two on the good side.
Yeah, I mean, this has always been a bad week for Tech to play. Because in the past,
that's my point. So now you're sitting at 4,000 total.
Yeah, the students are gone typically. It's Thanksgiving, so people have family in. They've got other things on their mind. Typically, Tech's not playing for a conference title like they are now. Now, when Tech has had a big game in the past, when something was on the line, you remember a few years ago, Tech had a chance to even possibly go to the Orange Bowl. The Orange Bowl officials were paying attention, and Tech didn't win. But I think Tech still had like 24,000 fans show up.
Yeah, but the ticket from what I understand, the ticket sales from Tech fans, unless they're all expecting to show up Friday or Saturday at 10 o'clock and walk up to the ticket booth and buy 10,000 tickets or 5,000 tickets, which we all know that's not likely. It doesn't look like there's going to be a crowd of 25-plus in there.
Oh, no. I'm predicting about 17.
And that's pathetic.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
I'm not going to rail on fans until it happens. But when it happens, you better clear out. This is the opportunity for Tech to put up or shut up if they want to be a legitimate G5 program and get to where they say they are, show you're there, and don't make excuses. In case you're wondering, throughout American history, Thanksgiving's on Thursday. This game's on Saturday.
Yeah, Sunday, and you don't even have Black Friday as a problem.
two days later. I mean, we're not talking about a game that is happening on Thursday. Quit your belly aching.
This is huge, and Tech really needs to show up in full force. This is the reason Tech wanted to be in Conference USA, to have a big game that meant something. And this is your last chance to see Kenneth Dixon. It's your last chance to see Jeff Driscoll, who's only been here 1 year, but he's had a huge year. And, I mean, this team has been something special. You know, Nick Thomas has had a huge year. You know, Paul Turner's come back and played well. And Bo Feet's come out of nowhere. He's been here for 4 years and done a great job. Bontarius Dorey, Vernon Butler, Darius Barnes, Bryson Abraham. I mean, all these guys are going to have a great game. It's your last chance to see them, to support them, to cheer them to victory. They're going to need all the fans there. I mean, it's a big contest. And it would be pathetic to see, you know, less than 20,000 fans there. We really need to see closer to 25, but because of hunting and Thanksgiving and school being out, it's never been a good weekend for Tech.
But Jason, it's the second weekend of duck season. Who cares?
Yeah, well,
there's going to be more than two weekends.
And the other thing is, in the past, Tech's played somebody like in Idaho or Utah State or San Jose State that fans have never heard of, or Nevada, who always have come in and beat Tech, it seems like. And Tech had 4 or 5 wins, and nobody cared. Well, this is different. You're playing Southern Miss as a rivalry game. Tech's got something to play for. there's a reason to come watch it. So hopefully fans will realize that and show up.
Do you think I got on a little too bad without even seeing the attendance?
Yeah, I hope for your sake the fans show up, or you're gonna blow a lid next week.
The rant will be worse than that one just was, and there's no telling how long that rant was. We're sitting at about 30 minutes of this entire podcast at the moment, so I could have gone for 15, but I withdrew and didn't go for 15. I just went for 5. But folks, just show up. They need fannies in the seats. I'll be there with my dad and my brother. Jason, you'll be there with your family. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm bringing my 10 million, so we'll be there.
Your menagerie, it's now you don't have animals, but it's they're people. I call them a menagerie anyway.
I have my caravan.
Your brood.
But the brood. It's going to be a great game. It looks like the weather's going to stay away, which is another plus. Usually if there's even a 20% chance of rain, take fans stay away. So hopefully it won't be any chance.
And maybe that's what's been keeping Tech fans from buying tickets is the weather forecast earlier in the week did look awful. I mean, it was saying 80% chance of rain all day long. Today during the game, this is we're recording this on Wednesday evening, it's saying between 11 and 1 o'clock, even 2 o'clock, there's a 20% chance it gets up to 50, I think, at 3 o'clock. So it's not likely you're going to get wet, folks. 20% chance you're going to get wet.
Hey, that's not much of a percentage. Take the risk. Come watch it. You'll enjoy it. It's going to be a huge game. Hopefully Tech can win and get a chance to get a little payback against either Marshall or Western Kentucky.
So let's hear your score prediction first, then your attendance prediction.
I've already said 17,000. I think it's going to be, unfortunately.
Is that the announced or is that the actual?
Actual. I mean, it might announce 18 and a half, 19, something like that. It won't break 20.
We'll stay on attendance. I'm going to say they will announce 20. It'll be closer to 17.
Yeah. So we're right there about the same. And then for the game, I feel like Tech's going to come out and move the ball and score some points. The defense is going to be up to the challenge. I'm thinking 42-31 Bulldogs.
31-22. You're saying cover the spread that's at 5 right now, 5 or 5.5?
Yeah, cover the spread, but it's going to be a lot of points scored.
And an over-under of 61.5 is what I saw here last. So you're right at the right close to the total number of points scored. I haven't given it a whole lot of thought, even though we do this every week. You'd think that I would start thinking about this before I just wing it every week. I think Tech wins, and I'm not really concerned about this, but granted, I wasn't really concerned about Western Kentucky earlier in the year. 35-24.
So we both think 11-point wins, but you just don't think quite as many points being scored. Which, I mean, there's a good chance, but I think you might see a little bit of fireworks. So
I think both teams will be pressing a little bit. There's going to be some uncharacteristic turnovers. If there's no turnovers, obviously you're looking at 45-35.
Yeah, I think Tech's defense is going to come out, put a lot of pressure on Mullins, really try to get after him. Go for some turnovers, go for some big sacks, try to get the big play. They'll try to hit Henderson deep on offense. Dixon's going to be like an uncaged beast after being kind of balled up against UTEP. I feel like Tech's going to take care of business, but it won't be easy. And if Tech has a couple turnovers, comes out flat, they could get beat. They get behind like they did against West Kentucky and not be able to come back. But we'll see.
Thanks for tuning in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Podcast this week. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, regular schedule, but we'll be right here, I believe, on the podcast only next week. But stay tuned to BleedTechBlue.com and at BleedTechBlue on Twitter for the latest on La Tech sports news. For Jason Jones, I am Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll see you next week.
This has been a presentation of the Bleed Tech Blue Radio Podcast by BleedTechBlue.com and hosted by Jonathan Ford. Don't forget to try a 7-day free trial on BleedTechBlue.com.